Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message provided by Monroe Global Incorporated and monroeglobal.com. We transform followers into leaders and leaders into agents of change. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover your purpose. Now, let's go into the message.
And today we want to deal with the subject, rediscovering the kingdom. Say that with me. Rediscovering the kingdom. I want you to get a clean page in your notebook because I want this to be a fresh connection to what you've been going through the series before now. Rediscovering the kingdom. The goal of God is the restoration of man's earthly leadership. That's what God is after. And so, as we take a look at this morning, I want to make a few comments about the purpose of our faith. The purpose of our faith, or our belief as we call it, is the restoration of the rulership of God on earth through mankind. Can you write that one statement down? Because that is the heart of the faith, the belief that we have. The word faith simply means belief. The purpose of our belief, our faith, is the restoration of the rulership of God on earth through mankind. Second thing I heard from him was this. The message of Jesus was a message of a kingdom from heaven on earth. That was the message of Jesus. It's a very simple statement. The message of Jesus was a message of a kingdom of from heaven on earth. Third statement I heard, the desire and passion of Jesus was the establishment of a kingdom on earth. That was his passion, his desire. His passion and desire was not to get you to heaven. That was not what motivated Jesus. That was not his driving force. That is the driving force of religion. Religion wants to get us off of earth. Jesus' passion and his deep desire was not to get man out of earth, but rather to establish a kingdom on earth. And I heard this statement. The purpose of Jesus was a kingdom on earth in the hearts of men. The purpose of Jesus, his ultimate intent was the kingdom of heaven in the hearts of men. I was reading my Newsweek and Time magazine this week, as I always do every week. I read about 5 magazines a week, try to keep in touch with what's going on. And one of the major stories was the growth and the aggressive and even hostile attack of Islam in different parts of the world. They are burning down churches, breaking down statues. They are killing Christians and Hindus. And if you're watching this program, you know what's happening, probably in the newscast coming on after me. And I kept wondering, do they serve the same God we serve? Anytime Christianity becomes motivated to take over physical territory at the point of killing people, they have just ceased to be the church. Because God is not in the business of killing people, burning up buildings, and destroying property. The kingdom of God is not an invasion of physical land mass. We're not trying to take over Jamaica, Guyana. We're not trying to invade Grenada. We're not trying to invade Nigeria. We're not going in to stake out boundaries on physical land. That's not the way God's kingdom works. God's kingdom, it was to invade a territory, but not physical land, earth. It wants to invade hearts. And that's what separates us from the other religions. And I think whenever Christianity reduces itself to physical territory attacks and trying to stake out property for the kingdom of God, then that ceases to be the church that Jesus started. Please listen to me carefully. I heard this from the Lord. This is not about taking over physical territorial boundaries. Our kingdom is bigger than that. Our kingdom belongs to the whole earth. It's already in the hands of our Father. God is not trying to get China. He's not trying to get Barbados. God is not trying to get Canada. The earth is the Lord's already. Everybody say earth. The kingdom of God is not after earth in the sense that it wants to own property. The kingdom of God is after the world that affects earth. And that is why our kingdom is not of this world. I heard this. The gospel of the kingdom is the good news about a kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is the only true gospel. Boy, he sure said this loud to me. Anything else you preach is not the true gospel. The true gospel is the gospel or the good news of the kingdom of God. There's no other gospel. And I must confess that I've been brought up in a religious environment here in my country where I've heard a lot of things preached most of my life, but never heard the kingdom. Thirdly, I heard this. The kingdom is not heaven. Even though heaven is a kingdom. The kingdom that Jesus preached is not us going to heaven. As a matter of fact, he preached the complete opposite. He preached that heaven was coming to earth. When they asked him how they should pray, his answer was, when you pray, pray according to this pattern. He established a pattern for us. First he says, our Father. That alone is loaded right there. You never come to God and say, my Father, because God is never selfish. You bring people with you when you come. It's always our Father. He belongs to everybody. Who art where? In heaven. That's an important pattern. He's telling us that the Father is not on earth. Our Father who art in heaven. He located the Father for us, and he's not on earth. He said, when you pray, do not address God on earth. Address him in heaven. And heaven is not far away from here. Heaven is right in the next realm. If you die, you're instantly there. It's in the unseen world. That's how close God is. He said, don't address God as being on earth. He is in the other realm. Then he says, respect God. Hallowed, holy is your name. Holy means pure, without ulterior motive. Your name. Name means reputation or being. God, there is no ulterior motive in you. You are pure. He said, when you approach God, remember that God ain't playing no games with you. He means exactly what he says. He says exactly what he means, and he keeps his word. Approach him with that kind of conviction. Now watch the next thing he says. When you pray, pray this way. Thy kingdom come. Not leave, but come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Two words to make a note of. Will. The word will is the same word in the Hebrew and the Greek language that is the word purpose. What is purpose? Thy purpose be done. Purpose is what? Original intent. God, do on earth what you originally intended to do. He says, pray that every time you pray. God, let your original intent be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Don't take earth to heaven, Lord. He says, pray for what's happening in heaven to happen on earth. God originally wanted earth to be just like heaven, not earth to come to heaven. Are we clear? Are you listening? Thy purpose will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's desire, original purpose, was to have happen on earth what's happening in heaven. Thy kingdom come. I checked out my reference in my computer and discovered that over 100 direct references to the kingdom is in the gospel. Over 100. In other words, Jesus only had one message. It was this message. The kingdom of God. And when I checked again, I noticed that everybody preached it. I gave a list here. You want to write them down. John the Baptist preached the kingdom of God. Jesus, of course, preached the kingdom of God. Paul preached the kingdom of God. Would you believe Moses also understood and preached the kingdom of God to the people? How about David? David preached the kingdom of God. Isaiah preached the kingdom of God. And the kingdom shall have no end, Isaiah says. And the government of the kingdom shall be upon his shoulders. And of his kingdom there will be no end. That's Isaiah chapter 9. I mean, everybody understood the message except us. We keep preaching, go into heaven. Everybody else had it right. Daniel preached the kingdom of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And Miles Monroe preaches the kingdom of God. I'm glad I'm on the Hall of Fame. That's a pretty good list to be with. Say, neighbor, and I preach the kingdom of God from this day forward. Let's see a few examples of who preached the kingdom of God. Exodus chapter 19. Moses preached the kingdom of God. When Moses brought the people out of Egypt, they gathered in the wilderness, and his first instructions from God is found in Exodus chapter 19. In that discourse, God said to Moses, here's what I want you to tell the people in verse 1 of chapter 19. He says, gather the people and say these words unto them. And then in verse 5, he gave Moses these instructions. Tell them, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. God's talking to the multitude of people, over a million of them. Although the whole earth is mine, says the Lord, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words, Moses, you are to speak to the Israelites, end quote. Can you please write in your notes, kingdom of priests. Kingdom of priests. Whenever God says something, it's always pregnant. God says, Moses, my first creation was Adam, and Adam was my kingdom on earth. Adam took the kingdom contract, committed treason, and gave it up to an unemployed cherub, and now there's another person ruling the earth, Lucifer. And he is the ruler of the kingdom of darkness. I've called Abraham after that, the great-grandson of Noah, who started the human race again. And I want to put my kingdom back on earth. And so I told Abraham to leave his father's house and come to me, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 and 3, and I will bless him, and I will make him what? A great nation. And this nation shall bless the nations. Is that in your Bible? Genesis 12, verse 1 through 6. And Abraham shall have a nation out of him. And that nation shall bless the nations. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in that nation. Yes, Holy Spirit. God lost a nation named Adam. He saved a nation named Noah. Now he wants to redeem the nations through Abraham. Who did God promise to redeem the nations through? The nation. Didn't he? You all looking at me like you're not sure. Please turn to Genesis chapter 12. Oh, he spoke to me. You are sitting at the beginning of a global revolution, I promise you. Don't take lightly any time I get up to speak from this day forward. Because he spoke to me. And those who receive it first are the ones who usually reject it. Don't be among them. Genesis chapter 12. Then the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. Why? I will make your name great. Why? And you will be a blessing. Why, Lord? I will bless those who bless you. Why? And I will curse those who curse you. Why, Lord? And all the people of the earth, all the nations of the earth, will be blessed through you. Who is God after? Who's he after? The nations. He's not really interested in Abraham. He's trying to get the nations back. But he's going to set up a program to get them back. He's going to use this man as a conduit to provide a seed who will produce a nation. And Abraham's son was what? Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. God told Jacob, I'm going to choose you. He changed his name to Israel. Jacob had 12 boys. These were called the 12 tribes or sons of Israel because his name was changed to Israel. So we had 12 tribes, and this became the nation that went into Egypt. So the nation that's supposed to win the world is in bondage in Egypt because of famine. And of course, you know how they got there? Through their younger brother Joseph, who became the prince of Egypt, who fed them and protected them. You see, God was preserving what? The nation that's supposed to win the nations. But there arose a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph, and this Pharaoh began to oppress God's nation that's supposed to win the nations. And God told him, because of your faithfulness and because of my faithfulness, you will be in bondage for 430 years. And on the very day, 430 years after they've been in Egypt, the very day God went to Moses and said, Moses, the time is up. Let's go get the nation. Who's supposed to win the nation? So Moses comes. He tells the people the message. It takes a while to influence them. They finally agree. They come out. God miraculously brought them out of Egypt. We know the story. And now they are in the wilderness. And the words of God, look at that. God says, now, if you will obey me, fully obey me and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you are going to be my treasured possession. And although the whole world and the earth is mine, you will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. My friends, kingdom and priests are two opposite statements. That's why I want you to write it down. The word kingdom, you get it down, is referring to rulership. Kingdom. Kingdom is referring to the ruler, the executive of the kingdom. The king is the one who carries out the dictates and executes his judgment in the land or his territory. The king is a royal position. Please write that down. A king is an administrator. He is a royal executive. It's a king. God says, the whole nation shall be a kingdom. Now the word priest creates a problem. Priest is not a king. The priest is, write this down, the spiritual representative of God. So the priest is responsible for the ministry of spiritual things. The priest stands between God and the people. The priest represents God to the people and the people to God. The priest is the one responsible for spiritual well-being of the nation. I have a mystery here. Yes, he spoke to me. He said, my intent was for Adam to be both king and priest. You know, ever since the fall, we've been trying to separate these two. And God's original plan was for both of these to be in the same person. Adam had no king and he had no priest because he was both. Talk to me. God told Adam, you dominate. And then God says, I'll walk and talk with you in the cool of the day. One is administration and one is spiritual. Adam lost that. And now God destroys the earth with water, saves Noah, begins a new human race through Noah. His grandson Abraham is called out. God's going to create a new nation, a new Adam. And his first words to them was, I still want what I always wanted. I want a priest with a crown. You all hear me? See, the problem with democracy, the reason why democracy is not biblical. The reason why republics are not biblical. The reason why no form of government on earth as we know it is biblical is because they separate the king from the priest. And they've done it so effectively that even the church is afraid to be king. I was on a one-hour radio interview in Ghana last week, the most powerful radio station in the country. I think they say 40, 50 million people listening to me. And then they called in to ask me some questions because they heard that I had influence in some of the countries in Africa with some of the leaders of countries. And they asked me a question, shouldn't the church stay out of politics? I asked them a question. That was my answer, was a question. I said, ask you a question. If you vote an unrighteous man in, and the unrighteous man creates an unrighteous legislation that stops worship, who's responsible? If you voted an unrighteous man in, and he makes a policy that is legislation that puts homosexual teachings in your school and books with naked people in your school for your kids to learn from, and then you get mad at the books, who's responsible? If you vote a man into power and he passes a law and legislation that teaches your children at age 8 and 9 that they must protect themselves with a condom and to show them videos, yes, videos in the school on how to have sex at age 8, who's responsible? Separation of church and state is basically separation of priest and king. And God says, that's not what I want. I want a nation that is a kingdom of priests. You know, God don't want some of y'all to be kings and some to be priests. That's schizophrenia. That means when I need an offering, I gotta go look for you because you see, I'm a king. This is God's plan. Moses preached a kingdom of priests. I like the way the King James puts it. It says, for you shall be unto me a royal priesthood. That's impossible. That's like Queen Elizabeth being the head of the church. See, the British was trying to do it. Boy, they somehow got in there and they took away and made prime minister. And so the attitude now is the prime minister of a country in democracy can say to the church, I don't need to listen to you. And so the prime minister, who's supposed to be the king representative, he makes decision without spiritual advice. Do you know why David was such an effective king? The man was a worshiper. You all talk to me. The Bible says, the only king that God said would be the throne that Jesus sits on. Was not Nebuchadnezzar, was not Rehoboam, Jeroboam, all the booms. It was not Solomon. The only throne that God promised that shall continue forever and shall be the one that Christ sits on is the King David throne. Why? Because David was a priest and a king. The guy wrote the largest book in the Bible, and it's a worship book. He was a mystery. Let me tell you something. God don't want you to leave business to become a pastor. Because you are a pastor of business. He spoke to me. He said, we have to get it right in this generation or the return of Christ will be delayed again. Because we're not preaching the gospel. I want to show you some scriptures that you never saw. Because he spoke to me. Look at Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea. And he preached saying, quote, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." What did John preach? The kingdom of heaven. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming and preaching the good news of God. Now this is important. What is the good news of God? It's not going to heaven. When you go out, what you call witnessing, what do you tell those people? If you get saved, you'll go to heaven. Wrong message. That's not the good news. That's why folks really ain't coming to Christ, because they don't want to go to heaven. They want to live on earth. That's where life is for them now. That's where their problems are. That's where they're facing difficulty. They want an answer to now. Let me tell you where heaven emphasis came from. Slavery. Or the black plague in Europe. Whenever man is in a catastrophe, he starts thinking about heaven. Whenever the epidemic, heaven kicks in. So during the black plague, when millions were dying in Europe from this black plague, that's when they really began to invent the gospel of heaven. And then when slavery kicked in, you know, the white folks in Europe, they created heaven during the black plague. The black folks created it during slavery. Everybody ended up with the same gospel. Swing low. Got the cotton on the back. Sweet chariot. Where he got that from? Coming forth to carry me home. That's not in the Bible. Ain't no chariot coming for you. Only one man in history went up in a chariot. One man. And there was no promise it coming for you. None. Nowhere in the Bible, no chariot coming for you. But you see, under hot sun, with a whip upon your back, you want a relief. You want a hope beyond the whip. So you say, "Oh God, in the morning, send down a chariot." And when the chariot didn't come, you start a new song. Nobody knows the struggle I see. See, we want to get out when it's pain. The good news of God is what? The time has come, he says. The kingdom of God has arrived. That's the good news. You know, it's tough when you own nothing. And everybody else owns you. They own your children. They own your body. They own your future. You have no clothes but rags. No house but their huts. I can understand why you could write a song like this. I got a shoe. You got a shoe. All of God's children got a shoe. I ain't got none now. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to put on my shoe. I'm going to walk all over God's heaven.
Heaven.
Heaven,
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 heaven.
Gonna walk all over God's
heaven.
And those songs kept us in the dark hours. But they were not the gospel. Let me tell you what they taught me when I was growing up in religion. Son, just hang on. He's gonna come deliver you someday. Just hold on tight. One day he'll come and take you out of this. That's not what he taught. He taught us, I have overcome the world, and you can overcome the world now. That's kingdom. God don't want you to have a good week after you die. I don't know about you, but that's what the gospel teaches. It teaches we have a good week this week. I mean, this week going to be a good week for you. Nothing outside of you is bigger than what's inside of you. That's a good formula for victory. Greater is he that is in you that he is in the world. You got to believe that or not believe it. And if what's in the world is greater than you, then you ain't got what you're supposed to have.
That's right.
Something's missing. I mean, if life beats you, then you either got the wrong good news, which is bad news, or you ain't got no news at all. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be not afraid, little flock, for if they could not overcome me, they will not overcome you." Look at this verse. Matthew 10, this one was interesting. He said to his disciples, "Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near." He told them what to preach. Matthew 11, verse 11. Wow. "I tell you the truth. Among those born of woman, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John." Boy, this is good stuff. He spoke to me last night. He opened this scripture to me. He says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing." When? "From the days of John the Baptist until now. And forceful men lay hold of it." Watch this. "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." This is deep. You got it, Lynn? You reading that? He says, look, from Abraham to John, the kingdom was never here. My God. They just talked about it. They prophesied about it. He says, oh my, help me, Lord. He says, even John was not in the kingdom. John preached about it. John is the last Old Testament prophet. Matter of fact, there should have been on that blank page in your Bible between Malachi and Matthew, there should have been a man with his leg like this. 1 foot in Malachi, 1 foot in Matthew. That's John. John was an Old Testament prophet who had a New Testament revelation. The other prophets spoke about the coming of the king and the kingdom. They talked about the coming of the king and the kingdom. But John actually introduced the king, who introduced the kingdom. So John actually saw it, but never got into it. Oh Lord have mercy. John never received the Holy Spirit, but he was standing next to it at the baptism. It came down right in front of him. But John never received it. And that's why Jesus said, the least in the kingdom is greater than John, because John only had the Holy Ghost come upon him and left. He said, but everyone after Jesus had the Holy Ghost come in them and live. Let me introduce you to yourself. Ooh, he spoke to me. He said, you are greater than Moses. You are greater than Abraham. You are greater than David. You are greater than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You are greater than Daniel. You are greater than Isaiah. He wants hell to have a fit. I mean, when you open your eye, God wants the devil to say, oh, no. Come on, any folks right here like that?
Amen.
Forceful men lay hold on the kingdom. This weak back, jelly back believers. Man, God tired of us. We can't even handle little hurt feelings. Little things in the church. The thing is bigger than my personality. Bigger than my little flaws. What's your problem? We in something big. This is kingdom. I mean, you got a lot of weaknesses too. But I keep trucking because you ain't my enemy. The kingdom kicked in when John died. Oh, he spoke to me last night. Read the first part of that verse. I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than who? John. I want to show you, he spoke to me last night. Look at Mark 1:14. After John was put in prison, then Jesus began proclaiming. After John was put in prison, then Jesus began proclaiming. After John was put in prison, then Jesus began to proclaim, the kingdom has arrived. After John was out of the way. You ain't got it. As long as John was present, the kingdom couldn't come. Because he was the last one with his foot in the Old Testament. Come on, somebody. And that's why Jesus did not stop Herod from cutting the man's head off. It was the last seal. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. God, in that prison, John says to his disciples, tell Jesus they're going to kill me. And if he's the Son of God, if he is the Messiah, I know he could save me. And Jesus ignored the request. Because John was holding you back. What Satan meant for evil with that sword, God turned into good. Look at the anointed people who are greater than John that came out of that death. Herod thought he got rid of John. But he raised up millions of Elijahs. Now, Herod ain't got one man telling him he's committing adultery. He got millions of them telling him he should have never killed John. Come on, say amen, somebody. The kingdom began when John was put in prison. My friends, he spoke to me. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to close. But I want to stop on a verse that's found in a place that you probably didn't expect. We read one of these before. Paul preached the kingdom. Acts 28, verse 30. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God. And then he taught the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at Acts 19. Mind-blowing stuff. Verse 8 and 9, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly for how long? For 3 months. About what? Arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. Paul was a boring preacher. One subject for 3 months. Because there was no other gospel. My friend, what did Paul preach? 3 whole months, the man had one message. Every night they came together, Paul says, let me pick up where I left off. We're going to talk about the kingdom of God tonight. Next day, once again, pick up where we left off, the kingdom of God. He didn't only teach it, he did it persuasively. That means Paul used every philosophical, ideological, intellectual argument he could find to explain one message. He said, this thing is about a kingdom. This ain't about Rome. It's not about Herodians. It's not about Pharisaical and Sadducean groups. This is not about religion. It's about the kingdom of God. Paul preached. I like this. Paul's passion. Acts 28, 23. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day. And came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them what? Not healing, not prosperity, not baptism in the Holy Spirit, not tongues, but he spent from morning until evening declaring to them the kingdom of God. And he tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Paul says, look, this thing is about a kingdom, and Christ is the means to the kingdom. From morning until night. Hey, I got example, but Paul, I could keep Paul's example. Don't tempt me, O Lord. Rahu. See, half of y'all couldn't attend Paul's church. I only keep you all in a couple of hours. Paul keep you there from when? Morning till night. Some of y'all would have been dead by falling out of the window. Okay. I guess what we've learned this morning so far is that there ain't nothing else to talk about but the kingdom of God. You are not a part of a religion. You're part of the kingdom of God. John chapter 3. I'm just going to stop here. Listen carefully to this. We're going to pick up here next time. But listen to this. Nicodemus came to Jesus. Look at me, look. Very important. And Nicodemus said to Jesus, hey, by the way, he spoke to me last night, friends. I ain't never seen John 3:16 before. I never saw John 3, verse 2, until he spoke to me last night. Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can I enter this kingdom? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He spoke to me. Jesus answered, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Do you understand what he meant? I thought I did. For that which is flesh is flesh, he says. And that which is spirit is spirit. So do not marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again. What's he talking about? Water is the way you were born. He came to me last night. He spoke to me. What were you in your mother's womb? Water. So that was your physical birth. There was no Holy Ghost in that. So when you were born from your mother's womb, that was water. That's why the water by had to burst. And you were born by water. But he says, to enter the kingdom, man, this is deep. He says, you need to be born by both. Oh, he spoke to me last night. Never have I seen it so clearly. This is why the angels cannot enter the kingdom of God on earth. To be in the kingdom of God on earth, you need a body. So he says, you must be born of water first. You've got to have a human body. Then you must be filled with the Holy Spirit on earth. In other words, to be in the kingdom of God on earth, you need to have a body and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. What did Adam lose when he sinned? He still had his body, but he lost the Holy Spirit. He lost the contact with the government. He lost the relationship with the headquarters. So he could not make what was happening in heaven happen on earth, because he didn't know what was happening in heaven. He was out of touch. And so the kingdom of God could not come on earth, because God, the king, could not get through to earth. So Jesus came, shed his blood for one purpose: to cleanse you, so you could be holy. Why? Because the spirit that you were lacking is a Holy Spirit. So the blood was shed to make you inhabitable again. That is why the resurrection, he told Mary, "Tell my boys I'll meet them in Galilee. We'll have a meeting." And the meeting took place in John 21. And the Bible says when he came in, they thought he was a ghost. And he said, "No, ghosts don't have flesh and bone like you see me have. Touch me," he says, and they touched him. And then he came to each one of them, the Bible says, and he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Where? Right in this flesh body. Where? Right on earth. Because the kingdom of God is not meat and drink and clothing, but it is love, joy, peace. Thank you. In the Holy Spirit. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you what this really boils down to. He spoke to me. He says, "Look, the kingdom works on earth. Get it? Oh, please help them, Lord. Get it?" He says, "When you die, the kingdom can't work no more." He says, "The kingdom works because you're on earth. Monday morning, don't be afraid of Monday. The kingdom works on earth. It works with that which is born of water and that born of the Spirit. It combines it back again. So you're not afraid of Tuesday or Wednesday. You can face anything on Thursday. Friday is no problem. Saturday, no joke at all. You can handle it. Why? Because the kingdom works with blood and spirit. It works with water and spirit. You were born in the flesh and the kingdom works. Your dominion on earth comes through your flesh. Without your body, you are illegal. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You really do? Please tell me. Smile. At least fake it. Help me. Do you understand what I'm talking about? No, did you understand what he's saying? Jesus said, "Look, Nicodemus, you don't need to die to be born again. You don't need to die for the kingdom to work. Matter of fact, the kingdom don't work when you die," he says. He says, "You got to be born of the water." That's true. You need that. That's your body. You need your body. He said, "But now you need the spirit back." I'm trying to make it practical, friends. In other words, stop planning to go to heaven this week. Take charge wherever your foot lands this week and say, "Kingdom is ruling this spot." When you walk into job, work, home, car, business, this is where the kingdom is. It's working. It's working here. It's working. The kingdom of God is within you. Let's pray.
Thank you once again for listening to this message, as we hope that it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you new paths and opportunities so that you can discover your purpose. It is your love, support, and partnership that makes Monroe Global possible. Please visit us online at www.monroeglobal.com for more product, partnership, or to join us at one of our live events around the world.